Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter 2008. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to him, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Besides restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
He guides me in right paths, for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side, with your rod and your staff that give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
You shall spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
A reading from the first letter of Peter. Beloved, if you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, this is a grace before God. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that, free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you have gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, when he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, thank you for joining us this week. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Reverend Mr. Dan Dreyer.
Yes, it's great to be back again, Brian, here in Studio 836 in Mundelein. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, thank you for coming back. Don couldn't be with us this week. For those who might have missed the podcast 2 weeks ago, how dare they do that? But Deacon Dan is a friend of mine out at Mundelein Seminary studying for the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas. And for anybody listening in Canandaigua or in the Rochester area, Deacon Dan will be one of the people vesting me at my ordination. And I'm sure Deacon Dan has some thoughts on the readings this week. What struck you?
Actually, you know, Brian, the point that struck me so strongly today is in the gospel passage, this concept or connection of the shepherd and how he knows his sheep. And as I was thinking about this reading, it drew back to me that connection that all of us have with our parents, but also a connection that our parents are kind of maybe this a power or authority that our parents had for us as children. And the fact that when we were babies and our parents were holding us, even if our other family members were holding us, if our mothers walked into the room and said our names, if your mother walked in and said, Brian, your face would turn. You knew that voice. Mm-hmm. It was a voice that you recognized. But at the same time, as you got older and you were running the streets of either Rochester or somewhere else and playing in the parks, and maybe you were doing something a little mischievous. I know it's hard to think that Brian would do something mischievous.
I never
at all. But the fact that your mother could shout out the window and say, Brian, in a tone of voice that would stop you cold in your tracks. But yet, what is it that your mother, that voice and that connection would make you stop? It was a relationship that you knew only to her and she knew to you, and how beautiful that is. And in a sense, I feel that's exactly where Jesus is calling us in this gospel reading today. And John wrote it so beautifully because Jesus knows us just like that relationship with a mother. And the shepherds, you know, a shepherd has all these sheep. You know, some sheep have white wool, black wool, or some of them are a little off-white. Some of them have spots. Some of them are dirty, mangy. They've been rolling in the mud. Some of them are even lame. But yet, when the shepherd's voice beckons, they come immediately and know who he is. And in a sense, I think that just reflects us and how we relate to our parents, that personal connection. But that connection that God has with us is so much greater than both of those.
Yeah. One of the things, a couple of things just hit me as you were talking there. One of them, the whole idea of the of Jesus speaking and us being able to recognize his voice. And I think a lot of times people want to say it's hard to hear the voice of Jesus in the world, or how do we recognize his voice? And I think this goes to that second reading that we have where Peter's kind of giving us, you know, how we know Christ. And it's basically by the witness that he gave. You know, when he was insulted, he didn't return an insult. When he was suffered, he didn't threaten the people who were causing him to suffer. Those types of general attitudes that we associate with Jesus. And, I mean, we see it all the time in our world. And we should be able to recognize that as Jesus. That's how we, you know, recognize ourselves as being children of God, is can we recognize those voices as being the voice of Jesus? And then can we also respond, like you said, to those voices? You gave the great image of a mother and, you know, calling out either, in it, you know, just walking in a room, and you see a lot of times a child, you know, will know right when their mother walks in the room. I think of a lot of the times when I'm out in Texas visiting my goddaughter or my cousin's children. And a lot of times I'll be holding them, and the minute the mother comes in the room, you know, all of a sudden they run from me or want their mom, you know, to hold them or something like that. I'm sitting here, what am I, chopped liver? Or
exactly,
but, but it is that, it's kind of that natural reaction. They know the mother's voice, they, you know who she is, and they respond to that. And of course, you know, it's an analogy, as you said. The other thing, though, that I think that comes, that connects is kind of back to the first reading, is Jesus in the gospel talks about the robbers who are going to want to try to steal the sheep from him. And in the first reading, we kind of have this whole issue going on. Peter is talking to the people of Israel, and he's kind of entered a little bit of a debate with them and starts to make a case for Christianity or for the gospel of Christ. And a lot of them sit here and say, well, what are we supposed to do when we hear this? And finally, you know, they repent and become baptized and join that. But I think that it does make a point that there is also other people who are out there preaching false messages, the robbers, if you will, the people who are trying to derail us from Christ's message. But if we are truly of Christ, if we belong to Christ, if we belong to the body of Christ, we should be able to recognize the robbers from the voice of Christ in our lives. A lot of times I think we make things too difficult on ourselves when we talk about our own, you know, morals or what's right and what's wrong in a situation. When we really think about it, for the most part, we could ask that question. I know it's kind of a cliched phrase, but, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? And that's how we can really recognize, you know, what is that voice from God? Is that voice not from God? And elsewhere in the gospel, of course, it tells us that you'll recognize the voice of God in other people by the fruit that they bear. And of course, I think that's kind of what that second reading can point to us. Are the people who are giving us whatever message we're listening to, are these the people who return injury for injury? Do they return insult for insult? When they're backed into a corner, do they threaten to other people, or do they, you know, start to fight with other people, or, you know, how do they respond? Or do they respond the way Jesus did, which is not returning insult for insult, but explaining their case, explaining what their belief is? And, you know, if people can't accept that, moving on. Jesus never sat here and started insulting the people who didn't accept him or anything like that. And so I think that's also a very poignant point from today's gospel, is that it's not just, you know, we hear this voice and attach to it, but there's also these other voices. And of course, in our society, we can think of any number of things that are pulling us away.
Yeah, I think especially in this time right now, as we're preparing for a presidential election, you know, we even comment on these ads that we hear on the television and the things that we hear on the radio and on the news. And all these voices and these opinions, you know, many times we can't even figure out what the candidate is saying. And that's just one example of our society. You know, what do we really know about, I know, Brian, a big key for you is community life. And, you know, what do we even know about our neighbors? What do we know about the people sitting down the pew beside us? How quick are we to judge, or how quickly are we to think about that? And yet we don't even know what we're filtering through our head.
You know, yeah, in politics, I was going to say it's the prime example of this, because I think politics is all about reaction. It's never about processed thought. And a lot of times it's about sound bites and quotes and everything else. And your point is very well taken. I think that even you can kind of adjust it even and say, when you ask, you how well do we know our neighbor, but that can also be a condemnation of ourselves, saying, am I just reacting to something I heard about this person, you know, that somebody told me, or maybe one incident that this person was involved in, and really not looking at a bigger picture? Am I reacting just being in a irrational way, or am I being like Christ and, in a sense, trying to learn what's going on with this person and trying to meet them find some common ground, finding some way to reach out to them and bring them back into the fold if they've left the fold? Or, you know, a lot of times we just like to gossip. And I think that between the liking to gossip and liking just to jump to an irrational conclusion, or, you know, with politics, you hear a soundbite and all of a sudden this candidate goes from being the greatest person ever to the worst guy ever. So it can be really, you know, one of those real reactionary things that doesn't, where we don't think about it enough and really think, what is being said here? What is the thought process, and how am I responding to this, or how is the media responding to this?
And I think the key point in listening to you mention those points right there is the context that we keep things in. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, in today's society, we get so busy, but it just, the context, when you said context to me, it related to this idea of the shepherd and the sheep, and all of a sudden it connected me right back to the Mass again about every Sunday, and this coming Sunday as we come and prepare to go to church, we try to keep our lives in context by being a people that come and celebrate the mysteries of Christ with our parish community and the priest. And in a sense, it's trying to keep things in context for us. You know, it in a sense is our gate. You know, as we walk in the door as lost sheep off the streets of, you know, Rochester, wherever we are living, in that fence, if you will, of the church, we are united and kept into context. Because without a light is something keeping us in contact, keeping context, you know, where are we really going with things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a priest friend who was talking to one of his parishioners once, and the parishioner said he likes coming to Mass every Sunday because it's kind of like pressing the reset button on a video game system.
Oh, yeah.
We just kind of get to clear everything and start over. But you're right. It's putting everything in that perspective, because a lot of times we lose sight of what is our real focus. And of course, our real focus should be on Christ at all times.
Right.
But it's so easy for us to be pulled away by those other voices. And the Mass is a great way for us to come back. I mean, both, you know, it's symbolic, but also it's a real coming back to Christ. We've got Christ present in the Eucharist at Mass. So it's kind of this whole thing where I've walked away, we go through a penitential rite at Mass, it's our coming back to Christ, and then of course being sent back out into the world, and Christ's kind of way of saying, try to get it right this time. You know, every week we kind of need that.
Yeah. Okay,
you didn't quite get it right, try to get it right again this time.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully that's something that we can learn from and become better at it the more we do it. We also hope that everybody will try to come back to this podcast next time and join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.